The prohibition of ribis, as described in the Chumash, only applies if the both parties are Jewish. The Jewish people is considered like one big club, and the word ribis, if you jumble around the letters, spells out bris. There's a bris among all the Jews. Abinezer has, in his Chuvas on Chelik Yerideya, has practically a comment. He has Chuvas on Hilchas Ribis, but he has a commentary practically sif by sif on Hilchas Ribis, and the whole kuntras from the beginning to the end is called Bris Achim, because the letters Ribis spell out a bris. In the end of Hilchas Ribis, in every normal big Yerideya, the Vilna edition, you have a commentary that's called Klola de Rebisa. Somebody found a manuscript by the Rebbe Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, and he printed it and he added on his own comments. I think that's what it is. I think that's what it says in the introduction. So he, one part that's, the whole thing is important, but one part that is important for us is that there may possibly be four different categories of ribis. There's ribis kitsutsa, there's avak ribis, there's Mechziki ribis, and there's Haramas ribis. You look here, he has Aleph Beis Gimel, ribis Ketzutza, Avak ribis, Mechziki ribis, and then he has Haramas ribis, before you get somewhere lost over here. Ribis Ketzutza is the Issa ribis deraisa. What it means is that I lend you $100 and I say you can keep the money for a year and I expect 10% interest, I expect 1% interest, whatever. Somebody wrote a sefer in Europe in the 1800s, and he came up with the chiddush that the real issa deraisa ribis only if you're a loan shark. But if the loiber comes to the malman and he says, I went to the bank, I want to borrow $10,000, and the bank is going to charge me 10% interest, do me a favor, lend me the $10,000 for less, I'll be happy, I'll lend you the $10,000 for half a percent interest. I'm doing him a big taiva. So Rab Chaim Volozhiner writes that Koidem Matan Torah, he writes on Pirkei Avos like this, Koidem Matan Torah, that would have been an act of Gemilas Chasadim. That's marvelous. Instead of going to the bank and paying 10% interest, I'm lending him for a half a percent interest. That's marvelous. Acha Matan Torah, that's an Aveira. So some Talmud Chacham wrote that that's only Ribis Derabon. The Ribis Derais is only if you're a loan shark. So the Galya Masechta has a tshuva. The Galya Masechta was the Rav in Navardik, Abdovid Navardik. He was a contemporary of Chaim Volozhiner. And he has a whole tshuva. He writes that this is absolutely not correct. It does make a difference whether you're a loan shark or he asks you to do the favor. After Matan Torah, that's absolutely prohibited. So Ribis Kitzutza means when I was kotzitz in advance. I was koveya in advance. Either the malbis koveya or the lobis koveya does make a difference. When I lend you the money, we make up in advance that you're going to pay me so much extra, either percentage extra or an amount extra. That's Ribis Kitzutza. The din is that Ribis Kitzutza, there's a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Loza in the beginning of Perek Zeh Neshach, where the ribis ketzutza is yotze b'dayonim. I lent you the $10,000, and then after the year was up, you paid me back with the half a percent interest, whatever. So there's a machlokes, am I obligated to give you back the ribis ketzutza? So it's an unusual machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan was the Rebbe of Rabbi Loza, and we passed like the Talmud. We passed like Rabbi Loza. The ribis ketzutza is yotze b'dayonim. The Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs disagrees with the Rambam and the Minyan HaMitzvahs. So he deletes around 16, 17, 18 mitzvahs from the listing of the mitzvahs essay, and he deletes about the same 17, 18 from the mitzvahs lois essay. So he has to replace them with other mitzvahs, otherwise he's not going to have 613. So the Ramban has the list of Hashmatas mitzvahs essay that the Rambam forgot to count. In his opinion, he forgot to count the mitzvah of Hashavas HaRibis. Ribis Ketzutza is a mitzvah to give back. The Megillas Esther is a commentary on the side of the Sefer HaMitzvah that was written by a man. His mother Esther died, and he wanted to memorialize his mother as he went to print, so he named the book Megillas Esther. It's good. It was written by a man and women. It does make a difference. It happens that it was written by a man. And so he comes always to defend the Rambam. The Rambam is always right. The Rambam is always right. There's not going to be such a gewaldig pirish. Half the time he's right, half the time he's not right. So the Megillas Esther comes to defend the Rambam. How come the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of Ribis Ketzutza Yotze B'dayonim V'cheyachich Imach to give back the Ribis? So he says, no, that's included in the mitzvah of the Heshev V'sagzeilom. That when you collect Ribis, the Torah says you're not allowed to. So when you have the extra money, he gave him back the $10,000 plus the half a percent interest. So that half a percent interest is outright Gezeilom. He said, that's why the Rambam didn't count it. This is highly questionable. And Ebenezer in Hilchas Kiddushin, there's a machlokes harishanim, the Beis Shmuel quotes a machlokes harishanim. If I lent you money and charge interest, and then you gave me the keren, and then you said, here's the interest. So is that money gezel? If I'm a kaddish and isha with it, she's any mekudeshes, because I'm not kind of the money. But he's saying, no, I'm kind of the money. It was a legally binding agreement, and if I would have lent the money to a nochri, he would have been obligated to pay me back the keren with the ribbit. I lent to a Jew, he's also obligated to pay back, but it's an aveira. And there's a mitzvah. I should give them back the ribbis. That's a mitzvah, but it's not that it's considered gzela. So there are two opinions. The Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer quotes two opinions. Based on the Gemara Kiddush and the Avav on the base. If you're Mekadosh Begezel, is any Mekodeshes. What if you're Mekadosh Beribis, is it any Mekodeshes? The Ritvor has a raya. Rav Soloveitchik said that Rav Chaim held that that's a raya she ain't allowed tshuva. It's a very strong raya. How can you say that it's gezel? The Gemara said befeish that ribis kitzutzos yotze b'dayonim. When I collect back the $10,000 plus the 0.5% interest after the year is up, so the Gemara says if I die before I pay you back the ribis, the day azarachmana lebrele azarachmana. The Torah only instructed me that I have to give back the ribis. The Torah never said a word that my yorshim have to give back. So my yorshim don't. If I died before I paid it back, the mitzvah doesn't apply. So you see beferish that it's not gezel. If it's really gezel, if a gazlan dies and he leaves a dover hagozel, so of course the children have to give it back. Hagozel lemachal abonim. It's the name of a perik in the end of Bava Kamma. If you stole something and you leave it to your children, so of course the children have to return it. It doesn't belong to them. So that's really a raish ain't allowed tshuva. There is an important, so the pashtus is that if I would have made the agreement that ribis kitzutza with a non-Jew, it would have been legally binding. If I make with a Jew, the pashtus is that again, it is legally binding, and I'm kind of the ribis. The only thing is that I have a mitzvah to give it back. I have a mitzvah to give it back. That's just parenthetically, it's nager to Hilchas ribis also. That's a major question that's touched on by Rav Baruch Ber in the Sefer on Bar Mitzia. What is the basis, what is the yisoid achiyav that I'm chuyif to pay back the ribis? I can rent you an automobile and I can charge you, I can rent you a tuxedo, rent you whatever I want, and I can charge you usage, rent an apartment, I can charge. So if I lend you the $10,000, I'm renting it to you and I'm charging you a fee for the use of the money. Is that the pshat? Many assume like that. So just like, let's say, if I rent an apartment, I rent a hotel room. So the longer you stay, so the more I charge. I charge by the month or I charge by the week, whatever. So if I lend you money and you use the money for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, I can charge more and more and more because you're using it for longer. Or should we assume no? Milvaloit sodnitna. What do you mean? If I lend you an automobile, you're using my automobile. If I rent you an apartment, the apartment is mine. So I have a right to charge you for rental of the use of my apartment. But if I lend you money, the minute I lend it to you, milvaloit sodnitna. So how can I charge you for the use of my money? You're using your own money. You're not using my money. So that's what Baruch Ber quotes in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He doesn't think that that's the yisoid achiyuv of ribis. The din is mikra din yimuchiv to pay. If I would have made a deal with an anjo, he would have been mukhiv to pay. Make a deal with a Jew, he's also mukhiv, but it's an avera, but he's kain and so on. So why is he mukhiv mikra din to pay? So Rav Chaim didn't think that that was correct, that it's based on schiris. He said, what do you mean? Milvalot's on it, so he's using his own things. I have no right to charge him for the use of my money. Rabbi Baruch Ber quotes Rabbi Chaim that it's matan mois serves as a kinyan. If I give you $10, I can be kind of karka if you agree. You have a building, so matan mois can be kind of karka. If I give $10 to a girl, I say hariyat mekudesh is nei, she's single and she agrees. So matan mois is kind of issues. If I give you $10, and I can say I'm lending you $10, I want you to pay back. So the kinyan matan mois is kind of that you have to pay me back $10. Let's say I give you $10 and I say I want back $11. I give you $10 and I want back $9. So what's the vort? Me'ikir adin. When I give $10, you mukhiv to pay back $10, and I say only pay back $9 because I was moichel. So Rav Chaim is quoted by Rav Baruch Ber saying, no, that's not the pshat. When I give $10, that's a kinyan matan mois. How much are you mukhiv to give back? Doesn't have to correspond. I give you $10, I'm kind of your karaka. I give $10 to a single girl, if she agrees to marry me, that doesn't have to be correspondence. Matan mois serves as a maisa kinyan. So if I give you $10, I can say, I'm giving you $10, matan mois to be kind of, you should owe me $9. Normally, you give $10, you should pay back the $10. And if you want to make money on the deal, I give you matan mas, I give you $10, and I say, you should pay me back $11. But the whole $11 is all on the same level of a chiv. It's all the matan mas, can be koin and shibudim. Matan mas serves as a kinyan. The same, the Gemara puts it together. The same matan mas that's koin a kiddushin, the same matan mas that's koin a karka, so the same matan mas is koin a by halvois. So in the normal circumstance, if you didn't say one way or the other, it's an umdina that if I lend you $10, I meant that you should pay me back $10. And if I say otherwise, I say $9 or $11, so the matan mas is kind of the shibud for $9 or $11. You say like that, and it's not that the use of the money, so what if I lend you the money, and I say if you keep it, the longer you keep it, the more interest you have to pay. So how do you understand that? So it's just, there's a chart, there's a table that we draw. I say if you pay me back, I lend you, let's say, $10. I say, if you pay me back after 1 year, I want $11. Pay me back after 2 years, I want $12. Pay me back after 3 years, I want $13. It's not that the continued use of my money for another year is mechayv you another dollar. No, it's a milvah latzon nitin. You're using your money, you're not using my money. It's just, I drew up a whole chart and I said, I'm making a kinyan matan mas. And how much you have to pay back, it'll depend when you pay back. If you pay back after 1 year, oh, on a chart that says, I want the matan mas to be kind of $11. If you pay back after 2 years, the matan mas is kind of. So from the very outset, you became mechuyef to pay $12. Not over the course of the extra year, you became mechuyef to pay another dollar. This is relevant, halacha lemaisa, for a certain case. The Gemara has a discussion, it sounds so far-fetched, and the Yerodeh has it, it came up, I have an unlisted number, and someone asked me this shaila from Pennsylvania, from Penn State University. There were two girls who were roommates. One was Jewish, one was not Jewish. So the non-Jewish girl lent money to her Jewish roommate. Beribis, why not? She lent her the money beribis. Then the non-Jewish roommate converted. So she calls up on a telephone. She wants to know if she allowed to collect the ribis or not. So the Gemara has a discussion. The Yerodeh has a whole siman about this. So they discuss, what if the deal was she converted in the middle of the 3 years, and the deal was that after 3 years she pays $13. So do you consider it all the money, all the $13 was already, chiv was already there from day number one? Well, no, the $1 per year. After 1 year, she owes an extra dollar. After another year, she owes another extra dollar. After the third, so there's a discussion in the Avnei Nezer, a discussion in the Poskim about that. This is a crucial question. But tell us, what do we assume that the loyve meikar adin is mechuyev? Indeed, in Mamanis, it's mechuyev to pay the ribbis. It's an Isser, it's a Chelek Abisa Behetar. Rav Baruch Be'er points out, how come Hilchas Ribis is in Yerideya? Doesn't it belong in Choshe Mishpat? So it's a right that it's Isser Behetar. It's not a Dinimam. Not like the Megillus Esther said, that the Ramam didn't count the mitzvah of giving back the Ribis because it's Ve'eshev Esagzeila. He says it's Mamanis. So Rav Baruch Be'er thinks, no, it's in Hilchas Ribis in Yerideya. It's a Din in Isser Behetar. Let's say you're the rich man, so I say Floyd needs a halvoah, he needs $10,000. You don't want to take out $10,000, you have all your money tied up, invested. So I say, do me a favor, I'll give you now a gift of $1,000, and you give him a halvoah, $10,000 interest free. So the Gemara says that's permissible. Yeruday says that's permissible. It's only prohibited if the loyve gives the ribis to the malve. If a third party gives, that's not an Issa Ribis. Unless, Taisus says, and the Yerodeh quotes this from the Taisus, they have a right in the Gemara, unless I give you the $1,000, you give the interest-free loan to him, and then you hear what happened, then you come and you pay me back the $1,000. So if it went around in a circle, then it comes out that it is an Issa Ribis. But it was an Issa Ribis. But if just I gave you $1,000 as a matana, and you give him a halvoa, so that's a heter gomer, the Gemara says. The Gemara points out that the pasuk, the word davar, appears in Chumash many different times. So very often the Gemara will have zed davar haratzeach. So the Gemara has a drasha zed dibur haratzeach. Liar b'cha ervas davar. So the Gemara has ervas dibur. So here also it says v'lasashach le'achicha neshach kesef neshach chaycha neshach kol davar asher yishach. So the Gemara has a drasha neshach kol davar ribis dvar. The ribis dvar mezasa. What is Ribis Dvarim and Issa Deraisa? Where do you have a case of Ribis Dvarim and Issa Deraisa? So let's say I feel very hurt. I daven a shul every Shabbos, nobody greets me. So I lend you $100, interest free, but I say, on the condition that when I come to shul, you say good Shabbos to me. So I'm binding you, I'm obligating you to pay back. I want to get back my $100, and I want to get a good Shabbos every week. So you're giving me more than I lent you. So that's an example of ribbis dvarim that'll be an issa derais. So that's the first category, ribbis kitsutza. You have ribbis sheinik kitsutza, that's called avak ribbis. Avak means it's the dust, like this avak shvius. The real issa shvius is you do avodas akarka. And if you do business selling the peir shvius, that's called avak ribbis. Avak loshen hara, there's real loshen hara, and there's avak loshen hara, a lesser level. So avak ribbis means that it's ribbis sheinik kitsutza. For example, I lend you the $10,000 interest free, and then you made millions with the $10,000, and you're so appreciative. So at the end of the year, when you give me back the $10,000, you say, I have an appreciation, you want to give me an extra $500, an extra bonus, $1,000, whatever. You made millions on that. So that's ribbis mucheris. You pay on your own. I didn't obligate you to pay, I didn't ask you to give me anything extra. So that's avak ribbis, which is also midrabbanan. Tosfos has two opinions. Avak ribbis eina yotze b'dayonim, but would you say that b'bolotzes yedei shamayim you mechuyev to give back the avak ribbis? The accepted opinion is that yes, that by ribbis kitzutza we paskin like Rab Lazar against Rab Yechanan, the ribbis kitzutza is yotze b'dayonim, and by avak ribbis there's a machloikis in Yeridei, a machloikis erishayim based on the Tosfos and Berakas HaNeshach, and we paskin that b'bolotzes yedei shamayim you're supposed to give back the avak ribbis. So let's say I give you a loan, I lend you $10,000, and you had such a good year, you invested and reinvested, you made millions and millions of dollars, oodles and oodles of dollars. And then it comes at the end, you're not allowed to give me an extra penny. So at the end, you can't even say thank you. You can't even say thank you.
Does what makes it terrible on the fact that the loan banks, does what makes it terrible on the fact that the loan bank decides to give the money, or the fact that it wasn't stipulated in the beginning?
Wasn't stipulated in the beginning. If it was stipulated in the beginning by the Lova, the Malva is prepared to give $10,000 interest free. The Lova says, no, I'll pay you interest. And then he lends him the money, so that says in Shulchan Aruch, even though the Malva didn't say it, but the Lova said it, from the very outset, that will be ribbis kitzutz. Yeah, that'll be minatari, yeah. But if it's avak ribbis, it wasn't stipulated in advance, and he pays on his own. So we paskin that, like that opinion, the avak ribbis ain't a yotze b'dayonim, but b'balotzes yedei shamayim, the proper thing is that he should give it back. So that's a question. So if ribbis devarim can sometimes be an issa deraisa, if I lend you the $1,000 and I say this on the condition that you pay me back the $1,000 plus that you wish me good Shabbos every week, so that'll be an issa ribbis deraisa. So what if we were never so friendly, they never used to, they're big shul, a lot of people, you never spoke to me. Now I lend you the money, now you became friendly with me. So every Shabbos you come and you say good Shabbos, so that'll be an Isser Ribbis Avak Ribbis. So Tosfos asks, wow, so you can never do him a favor? Can never do, the Loive can never do a favor to the mother for the rest of his life. That's a way to make enemies. Lend the guy some money, he's never allowed to do you a favor, because it'll be Ribbis Mocheris. So Tosfos says, how can it be? So they explain, whatever favor he would normally have done in the past, if he did it three times in the past, whenever it's a taiva that he would do in the past, he's allowed to continue doing in the future. But Taka, if he never, it's a big shul, he never greeted him in the past, and now he makes a point every single Shabbos, says good Shabbos, that's a problem of Avak Ribbis, that will be an issa. Or the Balatanya writes in the Shulchan Aruch, a rabbi thing, that if you lend money and the fellow is so appreciative, somebody pays back the Karen, he says, thank you very much, that's a violation of Ribbis Sheinik Kitzutza. Shlomo Zalman, when he first put out one of his Svarim, he wrote, they think that it's Mutter, that you're not paying that because of the Hamtona Samoas, you're paying that, you're praising him for the Gemilas Chesed that he did. So then, the first week the Sefer was printed, someone brought to his attention that the Balatanya writes, I think in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that it's Aser. So he backed out. So he said he wasn't aware. And he wanted everybody to know that he doesn't hold a cheat anymore. If Balatanya says Aser, then it's Aser. So that's Avak Ribbis. Okay. Then there's the third category. That's what the, what's it called? Place Hamada. Place Hamada. The crazy place is the Sefer of Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz on Yerideya. So this section by Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz is called Place Hamada. Klola de Ribisa. The third category is Mechziki Ribis. Sometimes you have something, it looks like Ribis, it's a Marisaina Ribis, but strictly speaking, it's not even Abak Ribis, and there's nothing to, even Bebodlatz is a Deshamayim, you wouldn't be Mechiv to pay back later. What's an example of that? So the Shulchan Aruch has the following example of Mechziki, the Ramah and Simakuf Samach Aleph Sif Beis writes like this. Let's say I want to buddy you up in order that you should. I want to ask you a big loan, $100,000. So I give you a big matana now. I give you a set of sheet mukubets, whatever, an expensive set of svarim. And then I wait a week, and then I ask you for the halva, and you give me an interest-free loan. But it's clear, it's obvious that the only reason why I gave you the matana in advance, or let's say you lent me the money, and then I paid you back the money, and then a month later I give you the set of svarim. And I don't say this is out of gratitude for the halva. So that's ribis mukdemis or ribis mucheris is awesome at the rabbanon. So the Rama says, he quotes from the Rishonim, this is really a malchamis on Perek Ezer Neshech, that the malchamis draws the distinction between avak ribis and mechzik ribis. Avak ribis is ribis mid the rabbanon, so it's baba lotz is a day shemayim, you have to give it back. Mechzik ribis is a marisaina, looks like ribis, but it really isn't. So there's nothing to give back. Even baba lotz is a day shemayim, there's nothing to give back. I have to look up the din. I didn't have a chance to prepare enough. There is a ribis the rabbanon of soa b'soa. That's a popular theme on the perek. So soa b'soa means like this. The chavis das, the nesivis has a sefer in Yerudeh. It's called chavis das. Chavis das explains when I lend you money, I lend you $1,000. So in the ikar din, when it comes mana piron, when the year is up, you mechiv to pay me back $1,000 in cash. You can't say, if you have cash available, you can't say, oh, I have a lot of svarim here, take $1,000 worth of whatever svarim you want. You have no right to say that. Taisus says, Rogel Rabbeinu Tam Lema Gimel Dinim Hei. Rabbeinu Tam and Taisus in a few Masichta says, three dinim. So, Halvo Azuzi Yoiv Zubiz Shokel. If he lent them cash, and he has cash to pay back, he's Bukhi to pay back cash. Let's say a dentist borrows 2 ounces of silver to make fillings and teeth. He ran out of silver. So Mikra Din, when it comes time to give it back, if he has 2 ounces of silver, he's b'chuyif to pay him back in silver. If he doesn't have, he'll pay cash. Okay. But Mikra Din is b'chuyif to pay back silver. Let's say I lend you 2 bushels of potatoes, or 5 bushels of grain, or a dozen eggs. So Mikra Din, you b'chuyif to pay me back a dozen eggs if you have it. If you don't have it, so then you pay cash is also good. So that's Menat Torah. Whatever I lent, that's the Chavis Das says, that's why it says in Chumash, L'sashich l'achicha, neshach kesef, neshach oichel, neshach kol dovar sheyishach. What does it say, this or that or the other thing? So he says, whatever you lent him, Nikra din, that's what he's mechuyif to give back. And that's the Karen, that's not ribis, that's the Karen. I lent you 2 bushels of grain, and mechuyif to give him back 2 bushels of grain, that's the Karen. Mid the Rabbanon, they made a Chumra, I think it's Mechzik Ribis. I don't think it's Abak, I think it's only Mechzik. So they made a din that since Alpi Halochet is a theme that's repeated both in Ezer Neshech and in Perek Hazor, in both. Since Alpi Halochet, only cash retains the same value throughout, and all the commodities fluctuate. See, we have Akasha, how come last year real estate was less expensive and automobiles were less expensive? And food and clothing. How come everything and jewelry? How come last year everything was less expensive? So we have 1,000 kashas. So the teretz is, there's one teretz. The money is worth less today. That's the teretz. So the halacha said that's not the teretz. That's the real reason why. Al pi halacha, we don't say like that. The halacha says that there's tiva and peira, and tiva means matbea. Matbea retains the same value. The government says this is a dollar, this is a dollar. So we have to give 1,000 terutzim. The real estate went up and jewelry went up. And food went up, and clothing went up, and furniture went up, and farm, everything went up. You don't say one teretz that the money went down. The halacha says that the money stays the same. So since al pi din, the money retains the same value. So if I borrow 2 bushels of potatoes, and I'm going to give you back next year 2 bushels. I borrow 2 ounces of silver, and I'm going to give you back next year 2 ounces of silver. So al pi din, Mikra din deraisa, that's what I'm chiv. That is the keren, 2 ounces of silver, 2 bushels of potatoes. But mid the rabbanon, since silver can fluctuate, and in recent days, recent years, it has fluctuated a lot. And potatoes can fluctuate also. All other commodities other than cash can fluctuate. So if I'm going to borrow 2 bushels of potatoes, give me back 2 bushels of potatoes, what's going to be if the potatoes are going to be more valuable? The potatoes that I give back, well, they are going to sell for more, because all the prices keep on going up. Prices don't go down. But no extra boilum, all the prices keep on going up. There's always inflation. So by the time I'm going to give you back the 2 bushels of potatoes, by the time I'm going to give you back the 2 ounces of silver, it's going to be more valuable. So min ha-Torah, that is the carrot. That's the chiyuv, to give 2 bushels of potatoes or to give 2 ounces of silver. But with the Rabbanon, since the peyre, since all commodities can fluctuate in value, and so if it goes up in value, so that's considered a mechziki ribis. I think the poskim say that's the third category. I think that's mechziki ribis. I don't think that's even ribis, avak ribis derabon. So you're not allowed to do so b'so. You're not allowed to lend ben l'chadchido 2 bushels of grain. You're not allowed to lend 2 ounces of silver. To borrow a dozen eggs, and the next door neighbor is going to give you back a dozen eggs. To borrow a container of milk, she's going to give back a container. When is she going to give you back the container of milk? Next year. Not going to give back that. So he's going to give tomorrow. He's going to go shopping tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. So how much can it go up already? A penny, 2 pennies. Not going to go up so much in a short period of time. So that, the Goyim learn in the Gemara, that's mutter. It's an insignificant amount, because it's not going to be such a... I'm not expecting she's going to give back the dozen eggs next year. She's going to give back tomorrow or next week or something. But if it's anything else that may fluctuate in a more pronounced fashion... So that's prohibited in the Rabbanan to lend so b'so. So if someone needs, let's say, 2 bushels of grain, so say, I'm giving you 2 bushels of grain, and the value is so much. Today costs so much, you owe me $10. $5 a bushel, you owe me $10, right? So he fixed it, that he owes me $10. Not that he owes me 2 bushels of grain. You always have to be kotzeitz how much it's worth. So that's the din of so b'so. So that's mechziki ribis. Then the Rambam holds that there's a fourth category, the Ramban denies it. The Rambam holds that there's a fourth category of ribis that's known as haramas ribis. It's also to set it up, but once you set it up, it's even mutter to collect it. What is haramas ribis? So this is a Gemara. This is how the Rambam, that's the simple reading of the Gemara. The Rambam made it into a different category of ribis. The Gemara has a case like this. You come to me, you'd like to borrow $1,000. So I put my hand in my pocket. Ooh, I don't have $1,000. But I'll tell you what, I have a lot of svarim. I published the Sefer. I'll give you $1,000 worth of svarim. You go sell them, and you'll get your $1,000. So the guy says, fine. So then, after I give him $1,000 worth of svarim, I sold him. I sold him $1,000 worth of svarim. He has to pay me, and he's going to sell the svarim, and I'll get. Then I say, oh, I just found in this pocket, $950. I'll tell you what, you don't want to break yet. You don't want to be matriach to sell the sefer. I'll buy back all of the svarim for $950. So the guy's thrilled. He doesn't want to stand for 2 months and sell svarim. So I buy back all the svarim for $950. So I lent him, I lent him $950 and he owes me $1,000. But I did it with a harama. I told him I'm selling his svarim, and then I bought the svarim back from him for $950. So the Gemara calls that haramas ribis. So the Rambam holds that's L'chatchila, you're not allowed to set up such a system. But if you did set it up, it's even permissible l'chatchila to collect the money later on. He owes me $1,000 because I sold him $1,000 worth of svarim. Then I bought it back for $950. He was very thrilled. He didn't want to stand all day and all month selling this one. So the Rambam holds that's a separate category. The Magen Mishnah quotes that many other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. So it's questionable whether anybody really holds that there are 4 categories. The Rambam is the one who says haramas ribis is a different category. Could be the Rambam doesn't agree with the Ramban that mechziki ribis and abak ribis are 2 different categories. The Ramban doesn't hold that this is a separate category. So it could be that there aren't 4 categories, but in Svara there are 4 different categories of ribis to discuss. That Gemara that we mentioned, the Gemara says le'osa tole ribis habo mi'ad loive li'ad malve, the Torah only prohibited. So the simple reading of the Gemara goes, I'm going to give you $100 and I'll ask you to do me a favor. He needs a loan, an interest-free loan. Lend him $1,000 interest-free. So the Gemara says that's Heta Goma. So the Mordechai quotes that the Talmidim wrote in the name of Rashi, that Rashi said that if the Malva lends the money to the Lova al Yidei Shaliach, There's no Aveira. L'asot tel ribis habo miadvei v'liyad malve. Malve doesn't violate an Aveira when he lends the money because ain't shaliach l'dvar Aveira. And when the loivet pays al yidei shliach, l'asot tel ribis habo miadvei v'liyad malve. It didn't go from the loivet to the malve. So all of the poskim say that it's a Talmud Toya. They say that not all Rashi students got 100 on the exam. Some of them knew how to learn, some of them didn't know how to learn. This is utterly ridiculous. This doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So the question is there any truth to it at all? Let's say you have a Jewish-owned bank, and I walk into the bank. The owner of the bank, sitting in Yerushalayim, he's sitting in Texas, whatever, he's not sitting in the bank. He has people working in the bank. He has non-Jews, Jews working in the bank. So when they lend me the money, it's not miad levely al malve. Everything is done al yidei shliach. So So it's usher. Does it even lower it down to the level of a derabbanan? So some achrayim want to say the Talmud Toya said that it's mutter. That's wrong. That was incorrect. But it certainly lowers it down to the level of a derabbanan. So therefore, whatever kulis you have on ribis derabbanan could apply over here. So what's one of the kulis? So they have a whopper of a kula. Let's say the bank is owned b'shutfas by Jews and non-Jews. So there's no prohibition to borrow beribis from a non-Jew. So with respect to dinim deraisa, we paskin ein brera. With respect to dinim derabbanan, we paskin yesh brera. So some of the achrayim say that when a Jew comes to the bank that's owned b'shutfas by Jews and non-Jews, we say yesh brera b'derabbanan, since it's not ribis habo miad loivet liad malva, it's not going directly from the malva to the loivet, it's going through an intermediary, the cashiers who were working in the bank, the people who work there. So that knocks it down to the level of a derabbanan. And since you're only dealing with the Rabbanan, so we assume when a Jew borrows money from the bank, he's borrowing the Goy's money. When the Goyim borrow money from the bank, they're borrowing the Jew's money. So that's called Yesh Brer B'Derabbanan. So the Pashtus is that this whole thing is a joke. What I mean, Yesh Brer B'Derabbanan is a din in the Gemara. When you have Shutvim and they made a Chalukah. So after they made a Chalukah, we say, Huvar Ador L'Mafreya, that this was his share, and that was his share. Here we're talking, the bank is on the shutfas by a Jew and a non-Jew, and they're still shutfim. They never made a chalukah. So what has got to do with yesh brer b'derabbanan? Very, very, it really does make sense. And the first step also does make sense. To say that even though the Talmud Toya said over wrong, but part of it is true that it knocks it down to the level of the Rabbanan. Why should it knock it down to the Rabbanan? It's ribis habo miyad loivet al malva. The loivet is paying the ribis to the cashier, and the cashier is going to give it back to the owner of the bank, who's the Jew, who's the malva. Why should it be ribis derabbanan? The whole thing doesn't make sense. The Pashtus says doesn't make any sense. Shulchan Aruch has the following din. It says, I have my money in a savings account, and you want to borrow $10,000. I'm making a lot of interest on that money. I'm a very religious man, and I give all the interest to charity. So I say, you want to borrow $10,000? It's a deal. You only have to pay me back $10,000. But the bank would have given me, whatever, 5% interest, and I would have given all of that interest to charity. So I'm lending you $10,000, interest-free, but whatever the 5% that I would have gotten from the bank, or Asia Bank, and I would have given to charity, I expect you to give that to charity. So the Mechaber Paskins like Tesis said, that's ribis kitzutza. That's an isa ribis deraisa. Why? Because when I lend you the $10,000, I'm stipulating on the condition that you have to give me back $10,000 and give a chunk of money to charities. Even though you're not giving that money to me, that's the rule of Orev, Medin Orev. When you give money to someone else based on my request, it's considered as if you gave the money to me. So the Mechaber Paskins, the Machne Ephraim writes that that's a Machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. How to understand the nature of the din of Orev. So the Mechaber Paskins like Tosfos. So Tosfos in Ozel Neshav. That would be Ribis Kitzutza Deraisa. So when you pay me back the $10,000 and you pay the amount of money to the charity doesn't have to give you back the charity that you gave them. They didn't violate anything. I violate is considered as if I collected not only the $10,000, as if I collected the 5% interest as well. So I have to, the good Samaritan, the guy who lent you the $10,000 interest free, so now I have to pay from my pocket all the amount that you gave to the charity. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The same thing in the following case. Let's say the son wants to buy a home and he goes to the bank. The bank, they don't know if they can trust him. So the father is well established. So the father goes to the bank. So the father borrows $100,000. The father has a steady job and he owns a home and whatever. Father's wealthy. So he borrows $100,000 from the bank and he signs all the papers. and he agrees to pay the 10% interest to the bank. Then the father gives the check to the son, and he says, "Here's your $100,000. You take care of everything. You pay back the bank, all the payments, all the keren, all the ribbis, and everything." So the Shulchan Aruch assumes that that's ribbis deraisa, because I made a deal with the bank. They loaned me the $100,000. They would not lend the money to my son, because he doesn't have good credit. He's a young married guy. He doesn't have enough money. So they lent me the money. Then I go and I lend the money to my son, and I give him a check for $10,000. And I say, for the $10,000 that I'm giving you, I want you to pay the bank $10,000 plus 10% interest. So that's considered ribbis deraisa. No, I don't think that's a nisa. It is. He wants to pay me back what he borrowed, and then he doesn't want to pay me extra. I don't want to take extra, so he doesn't want to. He doesn't have change, so he says the extra amount I should give to tzedakah. I shouldn't keep. That's fine. He has a right to donate money to tzedakah. That's not a problem. What if you have a store? I don't know. It's a big problem. We'll talk about heteriska. I'll have to get to heteriska. Yeah, what if I sell automobiles? So the automobiles, brand new automobile, sells for $35,000. Not everybody can bring a suitcase and give $35,000 cash. Not everybody has $35,000 in their checking account. So if I sell it on installments, you pay me every month, you pay a little bit. So if you pay right now, it's $35,000. If you pay over the course of a year or two, then it'll be $38,000. So that's an Issa Ribbis de Rabbanan, we assume. The Ritva holds not so, but we in Shulchan Aruch, we assume Ribbis de Rais is only Derech Halvor. If it's Derech Mekach, I'm selling some merchandise, and because you're not paying right away, you're paying at a little bit at a time, you're paying at a later date, and I charge you more, so we assume that that's only Ribbis de Rabbanan. We have to observe Dinim Derabbanan with the same care that we observe Dinim Deraisa, but there are certain kulas with respect to Ribbis Derabbanan. So one of the kulas that's mentioned here in Shulchan Aruch is, it's a Gemara, that Moyes Shel Yisaimim, the father died, here that's Simen Kuf Samach Sif Yutches, father died and left over money for the Yisaimim. The Yisaimim are young little children, so they don't know how to take care of their money. So the Bezna points an apotropos. What's the apotropos going to do? So let's say he wants to lend the money of the Yisaimim to other Jews, beribis. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to do. But if it's only ribis de Rabbanon, you're not allowed to be machal ktanim macholas asuris. You're not allowed to feed a young child, even a cotton, shalohi gilachinoch. You're not allowed to feed, you have to have baby food, you have to buy kosher baby food. You're not allowed to give non-kosher baby food, even to a tinok, a cotton shalohi gilachinoch. So you're not allowed to lend beribis deraisa the money of the children of the Yisaimim, because also lachila biyadayim. But the Gemara says to lend beribis derabanan. Not everybody agrees, but that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Ritva is very machmeh on everything here in ribis. But the way it says in Shulchan Aruch is that all ribis derabanan is muta b'moyes shel Yisaimim. And then it says in the Shulchan Aruch that hu adinami moyes shel tzedaka. So let's say yeshiva, non-profit organization, charitable institution, probably yeshiva university, okay. So let's say they charge tuition. So they say if you pay on time, the tuition is $35,000, whatever they charge. And if you want to pay on installments, it'll be $38,000. So that's ribbis derabbanan. It's not ribbis deraisa, there is no halvor. But that's ribbis derabbanan. So ribbis derabbanan is mutter for its tzedaka organization. Ribbis derabbanan is mutter for its tzedaka organization. Well, let's say the following shiloh. There are people who die and they leave in their wills that they leave millions of dollars to Yeshiva University. They should lend it out to the students at the same low interest rates that the government lends out student loans. So what can they do with the money? So they use it at Einstein, where they have non-Jewish students. So the Jewish students can never benefit from that, because they can't lend the beribis to the Jewish students. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, there is a discussion, there's a Taisvus and Ksubis. What if you lend Shtaris, Beribis? So Taisvus says, based on the Gemara and Ksubis, that there must be a klala prata klala over here that excludes karka avodim and shtoris. That the only time it's ribis deraisa is if it's kesef, cash, bushel of potatoes, a bushel of oranges, a dozen eggs, something. But if it's shtoris, something that's not gufa mammon, so then maybe muta legamri, or at least it's not ribis deraisa. Here on the bottom of the page, they have the Mefarshim, the Rashba disagrees with that Taisus and Ksubis. In the beginning of Perik, what's Perik after Eilan Iris? Darishan is Batsa. Beginning of Darishan is Batsa. So it's Machlokes Taisus and the Rashba. So some of the Mefarshim here think that Rov HaRishonim agree with Taisus, that that's only Ribis Derabbanan. So let's say if the yeshiva gives the loan by check and everything is paid back by check, nothing is done by cash. So then according to many, that's maximum that could be is only Ribis Derabbanan. Ribis Derabbanan is mutter for a yeshiva, for a charitable institution. Rabbi Kiveger at the end of Simen Kuf Samach, Sif Yud Ches, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes that B'moshel Yisoymin, you're allowed to lend the Ribis Derabbanan, the same thing Moshel Tzedakah. So Rabbi Kiveger quotes the Tshuvas HaRashba. The Rashba is Mesupik, maybe a Tzedakah organization is allowed to charge even Ribis Deraisa, because it's not a Jewish person. It's not a person mechlal. If you're talking about a human being, you discuss, is the person Jewish, is he not Jewish? Yeshiva University is not Jewish, it's not non-Jewish. It's a Jewish tzedakah organization, but it's not a Jewish person. So the Rashba is mistapik, maybe there's no Yisri Ribis at all. Ribis is only between two Jews. If the Malva is not Jewish bechlal, maybe there's no Yisri. So we're machmer on that. We don't allow Ribis deraisa from a tzedakah organization, but Ribis derabbanan, that says in Shulchan Aruch that it's mutter. So since most of the, that's what, since many poskim, most poskim perhaps, hold that if everything is done by check, the Hisa Ribis is only the Rabbanon, because of this klala prata klal, this Dovashen Gufa Mammon, so it could be that that would be mutter. That's what the yeshiva relied on for many years, and now they changed it, they decided to make a heter iskin. It's a question. Yeah. What exactly is a heter iskin? So first you have to know what is an iskin. Then we'll discuss what's a heter iskin. So an iskin means there's a person who does investment. So I give him $10,000 and I say, please do me a favor and invest it for me. So the guy invests it. So whatever revach, he's entitled to his whatever. Either I give him a fee every time he invests, or I give him a percentage, whatever the agreement is. And whatever revach I make is all mine. That's an iskin. And if I lose my pants, so that's what an iskin is all about. I can gain, I can lose, and he's just doing work for me. He's not paying me ribis. He's doing the work for me, investing my money. Yeah. If I have a good friend who's an investor, and he wants to do me a favor, so he says, Herschel, give me $100,000, and I'll invest it for you. And if it goes bad, I'll make good. I'll pay from my pocket $100,000. And if it goes well, then all the Rebach will be yours. So once he promises me that he's going to make good the Karen, so then it's called the Halvor. So if it's Halvor, whatever Rebach I'm going to make is going to be an Issa Ribis. So that you're not allowed to do. It's only permissible an Iske if you stand the chance of losing, you stand the chance of gaining. He's only doing the work for me, he's investing it. He's using his Chochmah, he's using his Seichel. He's investing it wisely for me. And there's a chance I can gain, there's a chance I can lose. But if there's no chance that I can lose, so then it's a halvoya. If he guarantees the Karen, then it's a halvoya. So if it's halvoya, then it's an Isiridus. Now what's a heteriske? So heteriske was invented in the days of the early Achrenim. They came up with this dreidel. I want to give you $100,000 to invest for me. So you can't guarantee the Karen. If you guarantee the Karen, and they say whatever Rebach comes, it goes my way. So if you guarantee the Karen, that's a halvor by definition. And then the Rebach you're going to give me is going to be Ribis. That's awesome. So you don't guarantee the Karen. So you say like this. In the days of the Gemara, they had this. Stam Isko would be Palga Milva, Palga Pikot. I give you $100,000 to invest wisely. and I say $50,000 is a halvoah to you, and you're responsible for that. So in case you mess up, in case you invest poorly, you owe me $50,000. And that $50,000, I'm not going to take a penny of interest, because that would be ribbis. The other $50,000, I want you to invest wisely on my behalf. And if it goes up, it goes up. And if it goes down, it goes down. Fine. And I want you to invest it so wisely, I really want to get 5% interest on $100,000. I tell a guy, I want you to invest it so wisely, I expect you to get 10% or more revach from your investments. So 10% of $50,000 will be 5% on $100,000. I really want 5% interest on $100,000. So you're not allowed to talk like that. You're not allowed to charge interest. I say, I'm giving you $50,000, I'm giving you $100,000. Palga milva, you're responsible for that. You invested, you're investing your money, your 50,000, you're investing my 50,000. Wherever you put your money, put my money also. So the palga milva, you guaranteed that. So I can't charge any interest on that. I really want 5% interest on everything. So I say, I expect you to invest it so intelligently that you're going to get way more than 10% revach on the $50,000 that's my pikudin that you're investing for me. So 10% of 50,000 is 5% of the 100,000. So then I say, but what happens if it goes down? So you'll only pay me the 50,000, and you won't pay me the other 50,000 that's a pikudin. So I make up with you. I don't have to believe you that you lost the money. That's where Moshe Feinstein points out in the tshuva. People think that heteriski, you just fill out a paper and that's a heteriski. He said, if they don't understand what it's all about, the heteriski is not valid. He said, this is not a trina, it's not a yihiratzen. If you say yihiratzen, it makes a mutter. The person has to realize that he can lose his money over here. He has to realize he can lose the money, but the whole deal goes like this. Best is, I don't know where you're investing the money. So you're going to tell me that you invested it in something and it went down. I don't have to take your word for it. I don't know that you invested it in that thing. So if you're going to tell me that you invested it and you didn't make 10% revach on the 50,000, so I don't have to believe you unless you swear a shvua on a sefer Torah in the presence of five prominent rabbis. And then you reserve the right to pay me the 10% on the 50,000 rather than have to swear. Religious Jews have a practice, we don't swear even if it's emes. Some religious Jews don't swear because they know it's false. So that's a different thing. In business, they don't want to swear because they know that they're lying. That's a different story. But the Chasam Sofer has a whole tshuva. Where does this minhag come from? There was such an old minhag, he quotes Midrashim like that an Orthodox Jew should refrain from swearing even alo emes, even if it is true. So he quotes sources like that. So the person is doing the investment for me. The deal was, I expect him to make more than 10% revach on the investment, and I want to get 10% on my 50,000. That's a pikudin, which in effect is 5% over the whole 100,000. That's what I really want. And then I make this deal that if he's going to tell me at the end of the time, at the end of the year, that he didn't make the 10%. Or he's going to tell me that it went down, the investment went down, so I don't have to believe him. If I'm following in a newspaper every day, I know where he invested it, so the whole heterisk is baloney. So there's no heteriska there. So best is, I don't know where he's investing it. He doesn't tell me where he's investing it. I don't follow in the newspapers, whether it's going up or it's going down. I don't know what he's doing with my money. So later on, if he says that it went down, and he doesn't have to pay me the 10% on the 50,000, that was pikudin. So I make the deal is, I only have to believe him if he swears, holding on to a safe term, presence of rabbis, and then he reserves the right to say, I'd rather pay you the 10% on the 50,000 rather than swear. But he may not, he reserves the right to say that. Okay, but if he doesn't want to say that later on, let's say he will swear. He says, okay, he says, I lost all the money, and I can't pay you back all the money, and I'm prepared to swear on a sefer Torah in front of the five rabbis. Okay, so that was the deal. So that's called the heteriska. So the heteriska is only valid if you know that you there is a chance he can lose money. If he'll be a nice guy, it was really a loan. You know, and I know, everybody knows it was a loan, and I wanted to get interest. So he's going to, but in order to make it kosher, in order to make it mutter, so he made Palgamilla, Palgamilla, and I expect you to make 10% on the 50,000, which is 5% on the 100,000. But the end of the day, if he does swear on the Sefer Torah, he will be potter from paying. He won't have to pay the $50,000 alvo. Won't have to pay anything from the $50,000 because. So that's what's known as a heterisk. A heterisk is what we call a harama. It's a legal fiction. Harama is a big issue, whether we permit haramas in halacha. Here there's a specifically added issue because there's a mitzvah to lend money without charging interest. So here, you're doing a haram and you're mevatel a mitzvah. It's fine, you made a haram, you didn't violate the aver, but you didn't do the mitzvah either. You did a haram and you lost out the mitzvah. So that's a big problem that the poskim all talk about. The Vilna Goyen used to tell over, the Vilna Goyen was not in any official capacity in the city of Vilna. He lived in Vilna and he sat and he learned. The Dayan, when the Vilna Goyen was a young man, there was a Dayan in Vilna. So one night the Dayan had a dream. One of the wealthy Balabatim came to him and he passed away, and came to him in a dream, and he looked awful. He looked awful, jaundiced. So he asked him, what happened? So he says, he's suffering in Gehenna. What did you do? So he says, ribbis. So he says, ribbis, you always had a heteriske. Didn't have a heteriske. So he says, the Bezon Shalmata holds my heteriske. Bezon Shalmata doesn't hold my heteriske. So he's suffering in Gehenna. So the Dain woke up and he told over the story to everybody. So the Vilna Gaon used to tell it over years later. The Bezin Shalmaila doesn't halt in the Heteriske, and you should try to avoid it. That's what Poskim are not happy with this Heteriske. And then the Vilna Gaon added on, they quote this in the Maisa Rav HaChodosh. There's a Maisa Rav HaChodosh that was put up by Moshe Shtenbuch around 20, 30 years ago. There are no contradictions between the old Maisa Rav and this one. There's overlap, there's a lot of overlap. And then there are other things that they quote from the Vilna Gaon. So this is one of the other things that didn't appear in the old Maaser Rav, that the Vilna Gaon said, and if you have no choice, businessmen feel they have no choice to have a heteriske, so at least they should be machmer during Yomim Noroim season. Yom Noroim he defines from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Leftes Simchas Torah. So it makes life pretty difficult. You knock out 2 months of the year, you can't use a heteriske. Okay. Heteriske was always a big question. Very often when people publish a book, so it's very common, B'noik Shaboilam, they put an advertisement in the newspaper, so they say, pre-publication prices, if you pay now, it costs $36. And if you wait till after it's printed, then it costs $50 for the book, $45 for the book. So what's wrong with that? Where's the ribbis? So the Gemara says that this is an Issa ribbis de Rabbanan. Why? The book, even if the book was written already, but it wasn't printed yet. So since the book wasn't printed yet, so even though min hatorah it's mutter, I'm giving him $36, he's selling me the book for $36. So the halacha mid the Rabbanan, we say since the book doesn't exist yet, it wasn't printed yet, we treat the $36 that he gives as if it's a halvoa to the one who wants to print the book. And later, when he pays him back, he gives him back a $50 worth book. Because when the book is going to be printed, it's going to sell for $50. So that's considered a halvoa. He lent him $36 and he pays him back with a book that's worth $50. Or let's say a dentist looks at my mouth, and he says, I need root canal, there's going to be 8 sessions, it's going to cost $3,000. And then the dentist is in need of money, so he says, if you pay me now up front, it'll be $2,500. If you pay at the end, it'll be $3,000. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Tosfos in Bava Basra, where there are two opinions, and we're Machmed, not the Shulchan Aruch, the Nekudas HaKesef, the Shach quotes this Tosfos, that if the dentist already started treating me, he gave me 1 session and he has a right to charge for the first session. He doesn't have a right to charge $3,000, but he has a right to charge something for the first session. So if he already started, so then the deal is acceptable. If I give him the $2,500 and he'll give me the treatment, so that's not an Issa Ribbis. But let's say He looked in my mouth. He doesn't charge for looking in your mouth anything. You go to another dentist to have the work done, he's not going to charge me for looking in the mouth. And he tells me, if you pay up front, it'll be $2,500. If you pay later, it'll be $3,000. So if I give him $2,500 and I don't owe him a penny yet, so then it comes out, it's considered I'm giving a loan midrabbanan. It's us, midrabbanan. It's considered midrabbanan. I gave him a loan of $2,500 and he pays me back in services which are really worth $3,000. So that's an issa ribis derabbanan. I remember I used to go to a bungalow colony with Rabbi Chalap and Rabbi Parnas and Rabbi Moshe Yagid and Rabbi Landman, the whole YU, Mala Galinsky used to go there, the whole YU crew, Noel Goldstein used to be a Rebbe in the high school here. So the owner of the bungalow colony, there were around 15 bungalows in a circle. So the owner asked the people at the end of the summer, about Labor Day, when everybody was going back to New York, so he said, whoever wants to rent for next summer, if you pay now, it'll be whatever, very little, it'll be $1,500. If you decide the next, if you pay now before Labor Day, it'll be $1,500. If you pay it next year, then it'll be $2,000. So that's exactly what you're not allowed to do. So I happened to be with Rav Moshe Feinstein at a bris. I started to ask him the din. So he said, it's a beferish in Mishnah that is mutter. It's a Mishnah, it's mutter. So I said, but the Nekudas HaKesef quotes the Tosis in Baba Basra that it's only mutter if he already began now. So he said, yeah, fashteitza, self-understood. If you leave some things there, your rental begins now. If you're going to wait till next summer, then your rental begins July and August. But if you want to leave some of the things there over the winter, so you begin your rental now, you're not going to use it for more than just leaving some of your summer toys or summer games there. If the rental begins now, then it's mutter. But the rental, if you're not going to use it at all in the winter time, you're just going to give the $1,500 for the use in the summertime, and the rental didn't begin now, so then it's taka ribis derabbanan. The Chochmas Adam has a chumrah that goes as follows. Very often in many businesses, they send you a bill. They send you merchandise, and they send you a bill, you owe them $300. And then they have in tiny letters on the bottom, if you pay within 10 days, you can deduct 5%. So the Chochmas Adam says, that made it into ribis. Whatever the price is, they delivered the goods already. So they say, whatever the price is now, if I pay now, how much does it cost? 5% less. But then if I pay after 10 days, I'm paying more. That means I'm paying more because I'm paying on installments, because I'm paying later. So that's ribis derabbanan. That's ribis derabbanan. So all the businessmen, many, many businesses, they do like that. They print in tiny letters on the bottom. If you pay the bill within 10 days, there's a hanocha. So the Chochmas Adam said, that's not called a hanocha. Whatever the amount is that you're supposed to pay at the time that the merchandise is delivered, that's the correct price. And if after 10 days you pay 10% more, so that's ribis derabbanan. So the later Paskim, Rameir Arik, has a tshuva about this in his tshuvas. So he thinks that it's not so. He thinks that since the din of the Malchusa is that you have 30 days to pay, so the correct price for the merchandise that's delivered is whatever the price is in 30 days, if there is such a din of the Malchusa. If that's the din of the Malchusa, and the Minhag HaMedina, everybody follows the din of Malchusa, that you're really not mechuyev to pay right away. You're only mechuyev to pay after 30 days are up, so then the real price is whatever the price is in 30 days. And the guy gives you hanocha, so he's allowed to give you hanocha. If you pay within 10 days, he gives hanocha. You don't say like the Chochmas Adam Schumre, that whatever price you'll pay now, that's considered the Iker price. In Shulchan Aruch they had the discussions, if there's a Jew who converted to another religion, a Mishumet, Mamish, is it prohibited to lend him Beribis? So it's an interesting, it's a Taisus in Avodah Zarah, of all places. It's not Nazel Neshach. So Taisus starts off, there's a Pasuk that you're not Mechuyev, let's say there's a Jew who converted to Avodah Zarah, and I'm a barber, and so when the non-Jews come, I shave their beard and their pace with a razor. When the Jews come, I'm not allowed to shave their beard. It's an Isser on the barber, just like it's an Isser on the customer to shave. So if a mishumet comes, I'm not allowed to shave his beard. Can I sell a chametz to the mishumet? No, he's Jewish. Can I use him as a Shabbos goy? No, when you're permitted to use him as a Shabbos goy, he's Jewish. The fact that he's a mishumet doesn't make him into a non-Jew. But there's no, the Tosfos has there, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, but there's no mitzvah about Shabbos Aveda. Mitzvah Shabbos Aveda doesn't apply if the guy's a mishumet. The question is, how mishumet does he have to be? Has to be mamish a mishumet, he converted out of the Jewish religion. What if he's a balavera? So you say also balavera, there's no mitzvah about Shabbos Aveda. I think on the anniversary, the 100th yahrzeit of the Vilna Gaon. When was that? The Vilna Gaon died in the late 1700s, so the late 1800s, 1888 or something like that, when they observed the 100th, huh?
It was 1790s.
90-something, late 1890-something. So they, in Europe, they were celebrating the 100th anniversary of the yahrzeit of the Vilna Gaon. So everybody wrote essays, and the Maskilim also had Ratawai. The Maskilim also wrote essays. So one of them wrote what a wonderful guy the Vilna Gaon was. Because in the Shulchan Aruch it says that if a person is a mumer, l'tayoven, you don't have to do Hashavas Aveda to him. The Vilna Gaon was very open-minded. He says, you do have to do Hashavas Aveda. So they felt that he's a wonderful guy. Anyway, but here we're talking a real Meshumet. If a Jew really, the days of the Balei Atos, they had Jews who converted because they lived during the time of the Crusades. So some Jews weren't able to give up their lives. So they converted to Christianity. So mitzvah shebiral machaver, you're not mechuyev to go out of your way for a mishumet. Averis, you can't shave off his pace, and you can't use him as a Shabbos going, you can't sell a chametz to him. So there was a big machlokes, what's the story with the ribbis? Is it permissible to lend for ribbis? Because ribbis starts off as a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to lend without charging interest. And then, whenever there's a mitzvah to lend to a fellow Jew without charging interest, then there's an averis. Does it start off as a mitzvah? So it doesn't start off. If the fellow's a mishumen, it doesn't start off. But he's saying, no. There's a mitzvah to lend, and the avera starts off as an avera. So if it starts off as an avera, just like you're not allowed to shave off his payas with a razor, you're not allowed to use him as a Shabbos guy, so you're not allowed to lend him a ribbis. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this issue, and the Ramah is machmir. The Mechaber is mekel, the Ramah is machmir. And the later poskim say, we're machmir by ribbis, they're rice, and we're mekel on ribbis, they're rabbonim. So this is an interesting issue. Maybe it could be that there's a fundamental difference between ribbis d'rabbanan and ribbis d'oraisa. This you have to investigate. Could be that ribbis d'oraisa is considered an isa bein adam la'makom, that the Jewish people is like one big club. He said bris achim, ribbis is also as bris. So the fellow is Jewish. As far as bein adam la'makom is the fellow, the mishumet is Jewish. And ribbis d'rabbanan could be that it's in ganzen a different isa. It could be that it's only bein adam l'chaver. It could be it's not bein adam la'makom. So there seem to be some indications from Gemara, some poskim, that this could be the case. The Gemara says, let's say a Jew has a bank, and I want to borrow $100,000. So I'm going to come in, and I'm friendly with the owner of the bank. So he says, go to the bank, fill out the papers, borrow, pay the ribbis, and then when you pay the ribbis, show me that you pay the ribbis, and I'll give you back every penny that you borrowed. So the Gemara says, ribbis al manas lahachzir is awesome. In Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei it says Ribbis Almanos L'Achzer is author both on Ribbis Deraisa and Ribbis Derabbanan. The Sfasemes, there is no Sfasemes on Bob Metzia, but there is a sugya of Tzarechot B'Ribbis that appears in Erchen. So the Sfasemes on Erchen has a whole Shtikal Torah fantastic against the Shulchan Aruch though. He didn't look, a lot of the Chidushim that he has, he didn't look in the Rishonim so often. It's not always gehalten l'alocha. He has a fantastic shtikel Torah, which is against the Yeridei. He wants to say that ribbis d'oraisa amanas l'achzer is also ribbis d'rabbanan is muta amanas l'achzer, because ribbis d'rabbanan is only been on machaveiro. So if we make up a deal in advance, I'm going to refund all the money. So what's wrong? I'm not stealing anything. Ribbis d'oraisa, that's been on l'amo. So that, but in Yeridei we don't pasch like that. We pasch and even ribbis d'rabbanan amanas l'achzer is awesome. So then the Gemara has another statement, Shuma Milsehi. Shuma means when I borrow the money and I make up the ktsitsa, when I make up the ktsitsa, I'm going to pay you extra, that's ready and there even before he pays a penny, even before he pays the money. Then Rabbi Kevega points out that Shuma Milsehi, when you do the ktsitsa, there's already a violation. But then later on, when he actually does pay, that's already an added avera. When the guy pays the ribbis, that's an added avera. The Mishnah has towards the end of the Perek, when you learn Perek HaZeh HaNeshech, you have to learn the last daf first. The last half has all the dinim derais, and then the whole perek begins with all the dinim derabanan. It's very convoluted cases that the Gemara talks about. You wonder why in the world that they have such complicated cases. So Professor Shaul Lieberman from the seminary wrote in one of his svarim that the Romans had laws prohibiting usury. So the people had to figure out haramas, how not to violate the government laws of the Romans. So the Tanoim had to deal with all these convoluted cases that the people were doing. What do we have to say? What do the Rabbanim have to say? Is it Ribbis Rabbanim? Is it not Ribbis Rabbanim? That's why we have such complicated cases there. So in the last daf in the Perek, you have all the dinim deraisa. So it says that not only is the malva over on Ribbis, the loiva is over on Ribbis deraisa. The loiva is in violation of Ribbis. We pass in the Shulchan Aruch like the Rosh, that if it's only Ribbis Rabbanim, the loiva is only in violation of Lifnei Iver. So let's say, I know the malva is going to lend to other Jews anyway, but Ribbis Rabbanim. So it's Bechadev in a Nara, and he's a Mumer. So then the Pischei Tshuva has the certain cases where we would permit the Loive to borrow the Ribbis Derabbanah from the Malve if Ben Kovakai is going to violate the Ribbis Derabbanah. So again, but the last Mishnah in the Perek has, we're talking about Ribbis Deraisa. So it says not only is the Malve in violation, the Loive is in violation of Ribbis, and the Eidim and the Sofer and the Shatchen, the Sarsur, the one who arranged the whole, what do they call them? They're people who do this for a living. They know who wants to borrow, who wants to lend, and they mishadach them together. So the sarsur is in violation of the isurib, is the psukim for everybody, every step of the way. Just we'll close with this, a point of interest. The isurib is deraisa is only between two Jews. If you lend to a non-Jew, it's muta min ha-Torah, but the Gemara says, osam ed rabbonon, gzereshem yilmad mi maisof. We don't want the Jews to have too much business dealings with the non-Jews because they'll pick up bad practices from the non-Jews. Rabbi Natam was a money lender. So how did he make money? He lent beribis to the non-Jews. Rabbi Natam did away with this din. So Tosis quotes Rabbi Natam. He says, that bizmanazet, what do you mean? We live in an integrated society. You don't live in a ghetto. The Jews live with the goyim anyway. All day long, we're doing business with the goyim. You can't exist if you don't do business with the goyim. So Rabbeinu Tam says, you can't say that this din de rabbanon is binding bizman hazeh. So bizman hazeh, he says that it's mutter. So we reverted back to the din deraisa. The ribis deraisa is mutter if the person is a non-Jew. What if a person is a kusi? So the Gemara has there was an old machlekes where the kusim geiri emes and kusim geiri aroi saying, are they Jewish or not? So we pass in the Geri Emes, but the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Hey that Reb Meir investigated and saw that the Kusim were worshipping Avodah Zarah on her grizim, I think the Gemara says. So the Gemara has a lashon Gozu Aleihem that they should have the din of Akam Lechol Divrehem. So what does that mean? They should have the din. So for Kusi Shech Tzebeime and Shchitas Anevela. That means Lechumre. You treat them like a mumer l'avodah zarah, all the kusim. What does it mean? Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. They declared that the kusim lost their kedushas Yisrael. So the Gemara has such an expression by the lost 10 tribes, the Balei Aseres HaShvatim, at the end of the first perek in Yevamos. The Gemara says, Gozer alem lias gakim l'chol divreim. And the Gemara says, if one of the lost 10 tribes is Mekadosh and Isha, ein choshishim l'kedushin, they lost the kedushas Yisrael. The Gemara has the exact same lashon over here. Gazu alem liyas kakum l'chol divrem. So that's a shach on the first page in Hilchas Ribbis. He says, why should you think that the kusim are only kakum l'chumra? It should be bein l'kula bein l'chumra. The Gemara says l'chol divrem. This is a big machlekes harishayim. Now Soloveitchik used to point out the dogam. I think the dogam Lavrova and Eben Ezra has this. If a kusi is mekadosh and isha, are you choshishim l'kedushin? So the Dogam of Rava and Eben Ezra quotes the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos in the end of Nida, that the din of Nida only applies to Jewish women. If the woman is not Jewish, so the dam is not an avatuma. Dam on Nida is an avatuma if it comes from a Jewish woman. What if the dam comes from the kusim? So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos in the end of Maseches Nida that a goy who dies is only mitame b'magam masa, not mitame ba'ohel, and he says a kusi dies, not mitame ba'ohel, and the dam from the kusim dam anida is not mitame. Goes ra'leim lias kak mugvurim l'chol divrein bein l'hakol bein l'achma. That's the Rambam's opinion, and other Rishonim disagree. So that's there are a lot of fascinating topics here in Yerideya, side topics in Hilchas Ribbis. I apologize. I had to go to a funeral today. One of the big supporters of many many yeshivas. Passed away, Mr. Cooperman, Mr. Moshe David Cooperman. Okay. is to give a hanacha to all the yeshiva guys who rented his apartment buildings on Benin Avenue. He always gave a hanacha. What do you mean giving it back to them?
They're
lending you the money to buy books and for food.
No, for tuition.
Oh, for tuition. So you know where the money is going. Yes, the Pashtus, the Paschim say, if you can't make a heter risk if you borrow the money for the purpose of the stock. You need the money to buy food, to buy smart.